this new episode of Spotlight on Africa, a podcast by IFI English, produced and presented by me, Melissa Shemab. Every month, I look at one of the biggest issues on the African continent, one country or one IT at a time. As you know, this year is a big election year, especially for African countries due to hold general, parliamentary or presidential elections. In this episode, after Senegal, we're looking at the coming elections in South Africa, general elections set for May the 29th. So I'm in Johannesburg and had the chance to meet people from different parties and organizations. In this episode, we'll discuss the main issues that mark the electoral campaign, including worries around how to fight corruption, the ever-rising inequality in South Africa between the poorest and the richest, and we'll be talking to South Africans living abroad, in France specifically, to find out how they vote there, with their polls opening in Paris on May the 18th. But first, I spoke to the director of the Itsikovic Family Foundation, Ivor Itsikovic. The foundation released a special South Africa edition of their African Youth Survey, which shows how young voters are keen to see much change in South Africa. The survey shows that more than half of the 18 to 24-year-olds in South Africa are worried about the future of their country, and they don't know for whom to vote. Also, up to 35% are even thinking about emigrating. Nearly two-thirds say that they are registered to vote, and just under half say they are likely to vote for real, actually, later this month. 16% say they won't vote, so about 35% haven't decided yet. To Ivor Itsikovic, this shows how important the vote of the youth will be in these elections, while, for once, the party that has been ruling South Africa since the end of apartheid in 1994, the African National Congress, or ANC, might lose its majority. I asked him what was the main worry of these young South Africans. He strongly believed that it's the level of corruption. Here is what he had to say about it.
Corruption has infiltrated South African society to such an extent that it touches every single person at every single level. It doesn't only just refer to the Western view of what corruption is. It also refers to nepotism. It also refers to denying access to people based on their tribal heritage or their race. And these are the things that have to be addressed in South Africa. We must remember that firstly, South Africa, whether we like it or not, is still very deeply tribal. In my personal opinion, we have much bigger tribal issues than we do have race issues. Again, people look at South Africa and they think that it's just a black-white issue. In my world, there's no black-white issue. I'm not suggesting that there aren't still black-white issues in certain places in the country, because there are. But that's not the overriding issue. Today, society is split based on tribal background and economic background. There's a massive split between the haves and the have-nots, irrespective of what their color is. Now, those are real structural issues that will only resolve themselves with time. But the issue of corruption has infiltrated every single aspect of the economy and every aspect of social life. And my personal opinion is that this has nothing to do with any one particular political party. It's a problem that has to be addressed countrywide in business, in government, in NGOs, in sport, and of course in politics. And the same way as a country like Singapore adopted a zero tolerance for corruption anywhere strategy, that's what's got to happen in South Africa, because it's no good to say that Party X needs to take care of its corruption issues, but Party Y, who happens to be the ruling party, lives by a different set of rules. And until we adopt a zero tolerance for corruption right across the economy, right across the political spectrum, we're never going to get this right. This is a structural problem. It's not a political problem.
Do you think that the vote of the youngest will be a key part of the results?
Yes, I think that any political party in South Africa who does not take the youth of the country extremely seriously does so at their own peril. Many of the people that we've surveyed are voting for the first time. People who vote for the first time or who have the right to vote for the first time are highly likely to actually go and vote. But first of all, a significant percentage of the South African youth are actually going to vote. That's number one. Number two, This is the demographic that has the biggest influence on the rest of the population. This is the demographic that influences their families, that influences their church groups, that influences their educational institutions. This is a group of people that have an opinion and that are going to influence those around them. So one has to listen to them, because out of what they're telling us, any political party can derive its election manifesto and its agenda for the campaign. So the information contained in the survey is of immense value to any and all political parties. Thirdly, this generation is telling us that they are going to vote with their feet, either during the elections or after the elections. If they don't get the outcome that they want in the elections, they're going to hold government's feet to the fire post the elections. And therefore, any political party who doesn't engage with them, again, does so at its own peril. So yes, I do believe that they're going to play a significant role in these elections. And I do believe that they're going to play a massive role in shaping the country, shaping the economy, shaping our society, shaping Africa's place in the rest of the world for years to come. And this is the generation that is going to change Africa. There's no question in my mind, not only in South Africa, but on the entire continent.
This was Ivor Itikovic, the director of the Itikovic Family Foundation. Now, my next guests are Mary Packard and Vincent Jackson, two South Africans living in France and campaigning for the main opposition party, the Democratic Alliance, also known as DA. We talked about the importance of the voters abroad. First, they started by describing the community of South Africans living abroad, its diversity, and they tried to explain why the number of South African abroad is actually growing.
I'm Mary Packard. I've been with the DA abroad since 2014.
My name is Vincent Avery Jackson. I am the DA abroad's operations chairperson. I also help Mary in the team for DA abroad France, because we also help oversee the elections for the diaspora in France near the embassy in Paris.
The South African community abroad is quite large, and it's probably growing as well. You mentioned how people want to move out, like try that chance maybe in Europe or in the US. So can you tell us a little bit about where South Africans are in the world and how big is the French community?
We do have a lot in the UK.
We do note that in the UK we're at around over 210,000 South Africans.
We have Canada and the USA.
Before that, you have Australia.
Australia
is at 206,000, according to the 2022 Australian census. New Zealand, I believe, is over the 100,000 threshold. And surprisingly, also United Arab Emirates is over 100,000 threshold.
Let's get to Europe. So we have the Netherlands. To your 90,000.
Correct. Mostly focused on the main cities. Just to give you an overall number, the conservative estimate is around 950,000 South Africans overseas, but some estimates go as far as 2 million South Africans overseas. So it's quite, there's a lot of disparity in the numbers, but clearly it's very big.
So we are rising in numbers. Has it anything to do with whatever's going on politically in South Africa? You know, I think it can be a little bit of both, and it depends on the age group as well. But mostly a lot of South Africans do go overseas to go back, to learn a skill, transform in some way or other, and to bring back what they've learned to take it back home.
And would you say that the diaspora is very influential when it comes to elections?
It's extremely true. And if we had to look back at the precedent elections and the things that we'd done to actually transform things that happened against corruption back home. So we have had a big voice to that. It has grown our numbers.
I would still add that in terms of economic influence, as well as having an influence abroad in terms of personalities that are overseas and that really speak and represent, like, have an image out of overseas, I really do think that they do have a presence. That being said, if we're purely talking electorally, they are quite small. Overseas, they've only been about, if we take the 2019 numbers, roughly 30,000 were registered to vote overseas, and only about 20,000 actually voted. That being said, it's important to note that it's not just the lack of will. it's also there's been a litany of issues surrounding how voting abroad happens. And what's interesting with 2024 is a lot of those issues are starting to change and in the right direction.
We imagine that the country has had 30 years now of free democracy and one party in power. So I imagine that the diaspora is probably mostly related to the opposition, right? And as the DA abroad, the way you're in contact with this diaspora, is this something that you feel that maybe most South Africans living abroad don't vote for ANC?
Yes, there is. Then again, we should never summarize all voters abroad to be one affiliation or the other. That being said, if we just take numbers previously, the DA acquired 74% of the vote overseas, which is considerable given that in that same election back in South Africa, it only got 20%, which is still considerable, roughly 20%. And so it is definitely a diaspora which is very inclined towards the overseas vote, but it should not be taken for granted, definitely. So that's why we're here campaigning.
Right. And the DA abroad has certainly grown in numbers. However, I mean, yes, as you say, the ANC is the largest, is the party in leadership. And yes, they are influential abroad. But the DA has certainly been the shadow government and are doing their work abroad and are growing their numbers.
It's also because the party has done work. We're the only political party in South Africa that has an overseas branch that actually has volunteers on the ground that monitors how voting overseas happens and transmits information. And so that work pays dividends, definitely, I think. And on that note, also you said that the ANC has been in power for the 30 years. That's true. But if we take the provincial levels, we're talking a very different story, yep. And that's going to be very important for 2024.
Yeah,
I want to dig into what are the main issues at stake, according to your point of view. But before that, can you just give me a quick history of the party?
The party has roots in the Progressive Party, which was the only party during the apartheid era in parliament.
We're calling it the South African Party. The
Progressive Party was the only party to oppose apartheid, with the notable activist and politician Helen Suzman. Yes, it has a very old history, but it has a history of having fought apartheid and stands for a South Africa that is united.
Exactly.
Under its diversity.
Right. Always thought about equal opportunity for everybody and mostly fighting for those that were poor.
This year, what's the main program and what do you think is the most important for you in terms of campaigning inside South Africa and then abroad?
Well, if you're looking at what's actually happening in South Africa, we have poverty, we have state capture of electricity. There's so much violence and crime that it's just unbearable for so many people that they're actually wanting to leave. And the people that don't have anything can't leave.
The important thing is definitely economic growth, because South Africa has stagnated in the last decade. And that has had dramatic consequences in terms of employment. Unemployment figures are skyrocketing everywhere, with notable exceptions in the Western Cape, which is governed by the DA. With that is poverty and crime. Crime, as mentioned, is quite important. The crime figures are growing and it's very tragic, especially violent crime. So that we're talking murder rates, we're talking rape cases.
Yeah, child trafficking,
yeah.
And all that stuff.
And so definitely fighting crime and improving the police service, which is a national function, is a very big priority for the Democratic Alliance abroad. And with regards to campaigning overseas, there are some slightly different issues given that they are overseas. They desire a better future for their country. A lot of them do want to return, but they do need to see economic opportunities that allows them to prosper in South Africa and allows them to really see themselves having a future there. And that's, at this stage, a lot of South Africans are very skeptical about this, South Africans overseas, that is. And they, of course, have also concerns with regards to foreign policy, depending on where they are in the world.
Now, according to opinion polls, the DA is expected to do much better than in any other election, right? So is it a very optimistic time for you, or do you feel it that it's like a good thing for the whole of South Africa? And what do you expect can happen by the end of May?
I'm always an optimist, and I always say the proof is in the pudding. Yes, we are growing. Yes, why? Because we want to have many parties join us.
We have to always be careful with polls. Polls really do fluctuate. In South Africa, there's really a lot of fluctuation in terms of polls. That being said, we're performing quite well. The DA, unlike in other elections, has really pushed for coalitions to be prepared, because South Africa is not used to coalitions. It's not a country that has a long history in that. And there's been efforts with the multi-party charter, which is trying to gather other opposition parties to be able to create a united front for change in South Africa and be able to have the majority that would be needed. It's a tough campaign, But there is hope. There's also a lot of anxiety because things are really dire in terms of how service delivery is being done in South Africa. The numbers are not looking good, but there is hope. And I really think it's also reflecting the diaspora too.
And then maybe last question. South Africa is a very complex country in terms of sociology and, you know, ethnicities and all. And sometimes you hear that ANC has been like quite the only party representing the majority of Black people. And so how do you feel about the DA being seen among all the parts of the South African society? Do you feel like you have to catch up with some parts of different communities, or is it a time of change? How do you see yourself for that?
As the DA, I think we can always evolve. I mean, we've got to look at infrastructure and time and how we can develop and everything, because not everybody's going to love us, for sure. There's always going to be someone who has a difference in opinion, and that's normal. It's absolutely normal. The ANC got where they are because they had to go through struggles. And what we do looking at is how are we facing different struggles and working towards that. So, yeah, we're here to evolve and to always look into how we can be better.
The DA is growing in regions that were not traditionally where it used to govern. If we take the KwaZulu-Natal case, it's quite considerable with our premier candidate, Chris Pappas, who runs the first DA municipality, DA-run municipality in that region. And so it's been doing massive inroads there. And same goes for Gauteng. So there's very much growth. We can't speak for all South Africans, but clearly we do see a considerable interest from a lot of South Africans of different segments of society. So we're quite encouraged by that.
Optimistic, as you were saying.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much to both of you.
Thank you so much for having us, Melissa.
And good luck with your campaign. Do stay in touch.
Yes, we will.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thanks to Mary and Vincent from the DA Abroad, representative of the Democratic Alliance out of South Africa. This was a new episode of Spotlight on Africa, a podcast produced by RFI English. Thanks for listening. We'll be back soon to comment on the results of the elections in South Africa. In the meantime, for more news, go to our website, rfi.fr/en.